Private Sanctuary, Episode 1.
Hello, this is Ryan Costello, Jr.
And I'm Jason Dubsky.
And this is 3.5's Private Sanctuary. So this is the podcast for those players that are still loyal to 3.5 edition of Dungeons & Dragons, even after 4th edition has been announced and will be released in 8 months.
May 2008.
Yeah, I believe May is the new PH.
Yeah. June
for the DMG.
June for the DMG.
July for July the Monster Manual.
Monsters Manual, yeah.
And then August for PH 4.5.
Version 4.5
3 months later, announced, yeah, after all. Who knows? After the 3.5 debacle, it was almost embarrassing to buy the 3.5 books, but...
Well, I think we'll get to that in a second, I think, but the 3.5 generation, as it were, mm-hmm. has been it's been a wealth of information. It's been a huge generation in terms of books and content has gone for Wizards.
Yes,
it's been... Especially compared to the other two generations.
Yeah, it was 7 solid years, yeah. Whereas the second edition was Dungeons & Dragons for a couple of years, yeah. Then Advanced Dungeons & Dragons for... It was probably about 10 years, but it was not supported with a new volume, a new source book every month.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, they had Unearthed Arcana, and they had a couple of the campaign settings.
Yeah, and then they had the soft cover, the complete guide to
complete
all the
series.
Races.
Yeah. But this 3.5 has been such a content-rich edition.
Yeah, I'd say it had a better business model. Up until second series of complete books, they were always paving new ground and finding a new aspect of the game to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into more of that, maybe we should...
Yeah, we should introduce ourselves. I have been playing Dungeons & Dragons since second edition, which I was in high school at the time. I believe I was 14 when I started. I was actually on a whale-watching trip, and... In my hotel room, I was staying with some of the other guys, and one of them was a Dungeons & Dragons player, and we talked about it for the whole weekend, and I came back and bought the books.
Got you hooked early on. Well, I got you even one better. I was hooked on Dungeons & Dragons first edition because a friend of mine had a first edition book that we found, and I was big into I was young, super young. I was must have been 10, 11. We played a lot of video games like Final Fantasy back on the original Nintendo.
Right, of course.
I was more of a
Zelda guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, we've got opposing cults here. But, we found a first edition source book. I can't for the life of me remember what it was called, but it was basically a basic guide to fantasy role-playing or something like that, which ended up being Dungeons & Dragons first edition. And we kind of ad-hoc'd many of the rules that we didn't know and or didn't understand.
Of course.
But it was kind of an introduction. It was a nice introduction to tabletop gaming. It had dice, it had papers, pencils, and a lot of interaction, person-to-person, a lot of creativity on the spot, and that's what got me hooked. And then high school came around and D&D wasn't cool.
Hogwash.
D&D wasn't cool.
Well, then I wasn't cool in high school.
I really wanted it to be cool because I loved it, but it wasn't, so I couldn't enjoy it. So it took me a while to kind of come back out of the closet as a role-playing gamer.
Well, I think between being a closet toy collector at the time, and an open Star Trek fan, wrestling fan, comic book reader, that I was so far from cool that finding Dungeons & Dragons and finding something that I was really comfortable in and could share with some other friends that apparently also didn't care about being cool, that worked for me.
Not a big stretch.
No, exactly. So 4th edition was recently announced at Gen Con this year,
yeah,
and that was not met with a lot of approval in our gaming group.
Yeah, and I don't know how much approval it was met with to more people other than those at Gen Con.
Right. Well, I was surprised listening to the Gen Con presentation first on a podcast and then watching the video on YouTube that there was a lot of support at Gen Con, which you'd assume, historically, gamers, when something new comes along, we boo, we give it a chance.
We're a bunch of skeptics.
We eventually, often we will buy into it. But No, right there, they were cheering, but anyone I talked to face-to-face, very skeptical. Mind you, I talked to us in our group, and we've got, like, okay, when I was playing second edition, I probably had about 5 source books. Mm-hmm. In 3.5, looking at my shelf, I've probably got all but 5 source books.
Yeah,
so I have spent quite a lot of money.
You've got one of the best collections of 3.5 source books.
Yes.
I know. And
yes, I do.
We've taken really good, or we've had made really good use of these source books,
and yeah,
which
for
is
sure.
Kind of the kicker when it comes to having knowing the future and knowing, you know, there's fourth edition coming. If we want to hop on that bandwagon,
right,
we're going to have to do it all over again.
Yeah, this is, I mean, right now in my back room, I have a shelf with a bunch of second edition books, some of which were mine, some of which were given to me by a friend who had no use for second edition books anymore, but didn't want to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was an investment from when he was collecting them. Now I've got all these 3.5. Is that going to need another shelf in my back room? And I'll never look at them except maybe to say, ah, remember third edition? It was funny, but it was cool.
I think the point of this is that I'm feeling as though we don't really want to be doing that. In fact, we have a game right now, mm-hmm. this 3.5 edition D&D, that we enjoy so much as a game and as an event between us that other than a few broken tidbits here and there,
right,
I don't see why we would replace it.
Yeah, I'm willing even to say that maybe 4.5 will be a better designed game because they're learning from 3.5's mistakes, mm-hmm. but it's not a game I need.
Exactly. It's not filling a gap.
No, for
it's
sure.
It's not filling a hole because second edition had been X number of years, what, 20 years or so?
Oh, yeah, it was a long
15,
time.
15, 20 years of shelf life. Popularity was certainly waning, I'm sure, if not
right.
virtually non-existent by the time third edition came out.
TSR probably wishes Vin Diesel had that Jay Leno speech about how great D&D is when they still own the rights because apparently sales like shot up right after his
Oh, really?
Yeah, right after his speech.
Wow.
Well, now, one of the things, I mean, with a new player's handbook coming out, a new Monster Manual, a new Dungeon Master's Guide, mm-hmm. that's the 3 core books handled. But I don't think they're going to cover the, what, however many, 3-4 dozen other source books and other options.
Yeah,
options, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've caught on, but usually my character is one PH thing and one completely other thing. I've played a Goliath, which was from Races of Stone, mm-hmm. cleric from the PH. I played a human right now, Scales of St. Cuthbert, a human Hexblade. Hexblade's from Complete Warrior.
Well, they specifically actually said that there won't be options for other races in the initial source books.
See, I think that's a terrible idea. I think that went from 3 to 3.5. One of the best things they did was include in the Monster Manual how to play any of these races.
Mm-hmm.
And then Savage Species came out, and if you really wanted, you could be a Beholder player character.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost absurd, but at least the option is there.
I love my centaur.
There you go. You're playing a centaur.
Yeah. I'm sure they will introduce options for you know, PCs or monsters as PC characters,
right,
but that's
hopefully.
Just going to be more books and more sales and more cash, because I think they've learned that the less information they stick in a book,
right,
or the fewer options,
right,
the more books they'll sell.
True.
It's a little bit cynical of me to say that, but it is realistic. I have a sense of business, and honestly,
yes,
if my goal was to sell books, yeah, that's what I'd be doing.
That makes sense to me. I mean, the Monster Manual, it's surprising to see that they had a whole thing on how to design and advance monsters,
mm-hmm.
knowing that they could have just then put out a Monster Manual a year saying, look, this is a more advanced Mind Flayer. This is a Mind Flayer with character levels now or something. So they could have taken that option away from us. They didn't, which is probably why we can continue to play 3.5, and it's had such a flexible design that we don't even need 4th edition before we run out of options and new material.
There may also be a point in that the new mechanics for 4th edition may not allow for monster PCs unless they may require a certain specific set of rules.
Right.
That the mechanics as they exist in the PH or the Monster's Manual don't include.
Right. And I'm even willing to say that maybe that might be a little healthier for the game, because I can remember one instance, or actually a few instances, where you were playing Fiare. Fiare mm-hmm. was a
My dragon,
copper dragon?
Right. It was a brass dragon. It was a young, super young, very young, before very young is...
Wormling?
Wormling, yes. It was a wormling brass dragon, 1 year old.
Right, and had a sleep breath weapon. And
ridiculously powerful.
Ridiculously powerful, and often just, that would just be the end of a well-thought-out monster or encounter, just like, boom, instantly.
I think it was actually the first encounter that we introduced Fiare, and he flew in, or she flew in, it was a she.
Right.
She flew in.
Right.
The first encounter put a big, I don't remember what it was. It was like a Bahir or something large.
Right.
Right to sleep.
Yes. And then that was coup de grace.
Coup de grace right there.
And so something like a sleep breath weapon is great for a villain because mm-hmm. the villains aren't going to coup de grace just because the DM... It takes a really heartless DM to coup de grace a helpless player.
It's which more we can get to later.
We will get to that another time. But, okay, so maybe somewhere you could argue that there were some things that were designed just for villains to have, and when you put them in the hands of the player, it breaks the game. But you played Fiare for a good 3 months, and I can only remember two or three times when I was like, oh, that Fiare, always one-trick pony. Actually, you weren't even a one-trick pony. No, you had a lot of other things.
But that's the fun as a PC, to explore all your PC options.
Sure.
And so when you're railroaded...
Right.
To a specific game mechanic or something like that, when you're not given the options.
Right.
Or I guess when you're used to so many options, given the number of source books you have.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. But then when you get back to the basic rules and the fundamentals that a new edition gives you, it's definitely a turn for the worst or a turn for the less fun.
Yeah, definitely. It's a little suffocating, which I think is a good time to talk about roles. Now, we haven't received a lot of concrete information on what the game mechanics are going to be like in 4th edition, mostly because they've even admitted on the Wizards of the Coast Dungeons & Dragons official podcast that they aren't sure what they are. They don't want to make some big announcement that this is how Wizards are going to work, and then it ends up, oh, we found a better way of doing it in the 8 months before it's released.
Which is one of the more logical steps.
It's true.
That, I mean, when they're designing the game, having all that, or the nonstop player feedback... And all that playtesting that they're doing, which is pretty broad, so I've been told, is definitely the way to go in terms of designing the best rule set.
Yeah, so I'm not faulting them for that because that does kind of wet the palate, and it again doesn't frustrate a player who finally picks up PH 4th edition and say, "Where's that cool option I heard about?" One thing they did tell us about was that there would be a lot more roles. That I can tell you, in the PH2, they kind of came up with this idea about what role your character should play in the party, so that you didn't just end up with three martial characters who are getting bowled over by constant fireballs. Now, so, for example, in PH2, it says the barbarian, here's one role set. It could be a destroyer, could be a hunter, could be a whirlwind, and the hunter would emphasize more of his skills, like survival. Whirlwind would be just trying to get the whirlwind attack. And these are just trying to... fill in your niche in the party so that if two people do want to play martial characters, one of them could be, say, a ranged guy, and one of them could be a close guy. But this was really still a very flexible thing. This was more just kind of guiding your hand if you didn't know the basics, or not the basics, but the advanced parts of character creation.
That's it. And the 4th edition version that they've brought out is definitely, it's a concrete rule that they've built into the game mechanics as a role, which again, in my opinion... brings out these railroads.
Yeah, I don't appreciate being told that this is how I should play a character.
Exactly, unless I'm a bard.
Right. Because someone has to finally figure out how to make that class effective.
That certainly does. I mean, we've had a couple PCs try the bard class.
We have.
And none of them have stayed bard. I think they've all multiclassed.
Well, with my fiance Tina, who we role play with, she played a pixie bard named Wendell.
Wendell, that's right, and she had a pretty diverse set of skills simply because she was a pixie.
Yes, pixie. She got the option from Savage Species, and she needed six. I think it was six monster class levels. So
on one
before
hit
she
dice.
Even got yes, and only all on one hit dice. She was a sixth level character with six hit points, or maybe eight or nine because of her con.
We had an ongoing bet to find out, you know, what session...
It's true.
...and what cause would kill cause Wendell to kick the bucket, you know, fourth edition or fourth session, fireball.
Yeah. Unofficially, it should have been Black Dragon on, like, the 20th session or something like that, but Sean pulled the roll.
He fudged his rolls.
Yeah,
DM roll
the DM
fudging.
Was fudging at the time. The point I was trying to make... was that Tina had all these racial abilities even before she took her first level of bard. So that's what made Wendell an effective character.
And the only reason, because it certainly wasn't her bard abilities.
No. So we haven't actually seen someone start bard, play a full bard, and so we don't really know how effective the class can be, but from our experience reading over classes, playing various classes, and seeing how the bard works, we kind of agree with the masses that say the bard is a little bit...
And that's the understatement of the century.
Yeah, there you go. Now, my first 3rd edition character that you were familiar with was Karkercast.
Good old Kark. We love
Kark,
him. We love Kark.
But he was gnome-ish. A gnome fighter. He was a giant slayer. He was the most ridiculous character design you probably could ever come up with. Mm-hmm. And in 4th edition, what role does a gnome giant slayer fill? Not many.
I haven't the clue. I'm trying to think of some even funny role, but I mean, I guess the fact that it's a gnome makes it a humorous role to play, but is there an official role for party mascot? Or, you know, morale builder? I mean,
Kark was not a morale builder. No, we'll get into favorite characters in another session. But just mechanically speaking, I think that's the thing, that Kark had a whole lot of personality, but mechanically speaking, he did not work. He was a specialist at defeating a monster type we rarely fought. In fact, I think there were maybe 2 sessions we really had significant giant encounters, and I missed one of them.
Yeah, and I tried to find an excuse when we did our epic level campaign.
Right.
We boosted all our characters just for fun.
Yeah, just to
level 21.
Try out that epic level stuff that you hear so much about.
Level 21 nowadays. But anyways, I digress. We boosted all our characters to that level, and I specifically every session I tried to create an encounter that was tailored to a given given PC at the time, and I think that's the only one of the few times you actually used your giant. You had big grappling hooks or something like that, and you took out a dozen attacks on the back of a huge. I don't remember what I put you up against.
I actually don't remember there being any giants in that.
I did. I gave you a giant, and you did a good couple of hits on it.
Hey, go me.
You go you. Yeah.
Go Kark. Some of my most memorable characters would not fill any obvious roles. Maybe they'll be very wide, and maybe the role will be as basic as a class and a race. Because, I don't know, have you ever played Shadowrun?
No, I haven't.
Shadowrun is a classless game. It's you've got your race, and then you pick your priority. So if you really want a character with a lot of money, then that's your first priority. If you want him with a lot of skill points, for example, that's your second priority. And so you kind of make your class based on how you allocate your priority and then what you do with that priority. So if you're a rich guy, you can be the guy with the vehicle, you can be the guy that drives people around. But you kind of figure out whatever role, what your niche is, and call yourself that.
Yeah.
So I was a rigger, which is, he's the guy that drives people around and things like that. And it's kind of a suggested class, but there are no concrete classes. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm thinking is that maybe roles will be the opposite. Maybe in 4th edition, you'll have your race, which defines, you know, who you are and who you have been from childhood, your class, which defines who you want to be, and then your role, which also defines who you want to be, defines
this again.
How
it
your,
goes back
your
to
friends
another,
view you. I'm not sure.
It goes back to another problem of the role is in my opinion defined by how the player plays the character,
right?
Because kind of like your alignment. Well, we can get into that in a second, but If you state that your character's role is, for example, leader.
Okay.
I mean,
that's a good
very,
one.
A very kind of, I guess, boisterous role to take.
Right.
And you put yourself under a lot of pressure to say, okay, well, I'm always going to be the party leader. I have to act like a leader. I was going to say leaderful. That's not a word. Leader-esque. I have to act like a leader always.
Yeah.
And I have to speak for the party all the time.
Right.
What else falls under the leader role? And, you know, do I really want to be playing that all the time?
Well, what's funny is a lot of the stuff you're mentioning is what my current character, the Scales of St. Cuthbert, is. But what's funny is that no one in the party respects him as the leader.
Exactly.
He's a guy
because he's called himself the leader.
He's called himself the leader. He's spoken for the party without being told. He just comes up and makes wild decisions. He's very passionate, really passionately religious, which none of the other characters are, and he's really taken a lot of liberties with where he should be as a how much he should speak for the party. And so
if you put down the role leader on the paper, would that make a difference?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, how does
the
mechanics
the rest of the party have to say, okay, he's our leader, it says it's his role?
I'm hoping that all it is basically, you know, you choose a role and that is your general role. It gives you bonuses to certain roles. Roles is R-O-L-L this time.
Yes, of course.
Certain roles, dice rolls, and doesn't do much else.
Right.
But still, when it comes to something that's psychological and not physical,
right,
I disagree completely on making a strict game mechanic.
Yeah. Well, I've always found the toughest characters to play are the ones with high intelligence, high wisdom, or high charisma. Maybe not high charisma because I'm very likable. Thank you. But the characters that have the more internal stuff, that's hard to role play because you really have to be considering just this guy is a genius. What would a genius do in this situation? Alignment is similar, except that alignment's so poorly defined that you could really justify most of your actions as being in your alignment. So with this new role thing, will it just be one more thing you have to think about? Because a lot of my characters, you guys have kind of given me credit for having well thought out characters. But I don't think them out. This is just going with
everyone.
You're
a natural actor in that sense. That's why.
I don't know if that's quite it. I am naturally creative. I'll take that.
Yeah, well, that's part of how you play your roles. Also, you DM most of the time. So
true.
I think that you really let it all out when you get to actually play a PC.
When I get to, instead of focus my creative energies on the cast of thousands that you guys will be encountering, when I'm one guy that's facing a cast of thousands, yes, I definitely turn things around most of the time. I'll admit that Benjamin wasn't the most exciting character. Raptor and Druid Wizard.
Yeah.
He was shy.
Yeah.
He was soft-spoken was his
Which
character.
Which is not you.
No, I guess not.
It's like our friend Matt being not sarcastic.
Right.
He said he would be his next character. That's not going to happen.
Oh, we know. He's lying.
He's lying, yeah, through his teeth.
Okay, well, lying would be if he didn't believe it. Maybe he believes it.
He's jaded. Another one of the officially announced changes that they made
right.
in 4th edition is 30 levels.
Yes, every class will have 30 levels.
As opposed to the 20 levels in 3.5 and
right.
potentially 10 or more epic levels.
Right.
What's more significant is that they've promised big changes in so far as what your characters achieve and or gain
mm-hmm.
at every subsequent level.
Right.
I guess that's kind of wishful thinking on our
yeah,
part. Wouldn't it be fun
to get
something new every time? But guaranteeing that, I think they're actually going to just be fishing for things to give certain classes and or races as they increase in level.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if there's some classes and races that haven't been in a previous edition. Because I believe there's been some artwork of unknown races.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an article on Wizards of the Coast, their insider, about elves, and there was some suggestion that elves have some cousin race that we've never heard of before. So,
they can do stuff up now, are they?
Yes. Well, of course, they have to. I mean, it can't just be a restart. It is a restart for the rules, but it is also introducing something new. Otherwise, there's a lot less to introduce to a new customer or to convince an old customer to switch over,
mm-hmm.
such as ourselves, who were so appalled that we made up our own
podcast. We're
going to
need a lot of convincing, I think, to get
definitely.
Into the 4th edition. I've always considered myself an open-minded person, but I just continue to look back at that bookshelf, and see
a little
of those
in disarray
books
right
costing
now.
$40.
Right.
And,
you know, when you've got the spell compendium, which is such a
thorough and full and complete...
Yeah.
Just,
it captures almost all the spells that were in 3rd edition. Now there will be about 5 more source books with spells released since the spell compendium.
Mm-hmm.
But with 3.5, we've almost got the complete spell book right there. And starting from scratch and then slowly going back to that process of we have, if you're a wizard and you've got one spell from this book, one spell from this book, you've got to bring all those spells or mm-hmm. photocopy that page.
Yeah, no, for sure. But
right now, it feels like it's just the advertising machine is saying that there will be something interesting at every level.
I think that's they're probably trying to spin something there.
Sure.
That might also relate to how they've mentioned that races and classes will fit a lot more tightly together.
Okay.
Much like a racial skill, for example, elves will have certain capabilities
right.
with long swords and long bows. That work well together as rangers and or probably druids or other elvish type classes that aren't necessarily just favored classes but also give bonuses, or dwarves are naturally good as fighters and use battle axes and warhammers well and stuff like that.
Which
I
appreciate.
That's probably where they're going with the whole gaining levels thing.
Right.
You know, as a dwarf, every second level you gain X proficiency with axe or hammer or whatever, that kind of stuff, as opposed to gain a feat every third level or gain an attribute score every fourth level.
Right. Well, that reminds me a little bit of from the Races of series.
Yeah.
Where at the back there's a chapter on racial substitution levels.
Yeah.
So it's not just being a fighter, it's being a dwarf fighter
mm-hmm.
and what specifically he should get. It's usually different animal companions with the raptor, and if you're a raptor and fighter, you get you can fly in medium armor. and you don't even lose the bonus feat. It's just, this is the only way this class, this race can work with this class, is if they have this bonus.
It's a good idea. It's definitely a good idea. I just don't know how they're going to pull it off with the plethora of races, classes, and combinations thereof.
Yes.
That's going to be very difficult.
We do love the combinations.
We love our combinations, and that's what makes it so much fun.
Yeah. Complete Mage, they have the Sorcerer Wizard Prestige class.
The Ultimate Magus.
Yes, the Ultimate Magus.
It's incredible. It's an incredible class, and it's... nobody's actually tried it from
not yet.
I really, really want to.
I'd like to try it too, but then I'm usually the DM, and so my playing opportunities are minimum. And there are so many. I want to try the Duskblade. I want to try a straight Duskblade. I want to try a couple of other things. I want to try the Raptoran Fighter. Raptorans were cool. I liked how they progressed to eventually get flying. They slowly, as their hit dice go up, which kind of sounds like what you were talking about, races in 4th edition would work. Because Raptoran had, instead of just being, this is what you get at the first level for being a Raptoran, and then everything else you get is a race. Raptorans, first you got a jump bonus, then you got a glide speed, until eventually at 10th level or 10th hit dice, you got a fly speed.
Yeah, and it's I think it more than that, it ties into the class. A Raptoran fighter might get, you know, fly speed at an earlier level, whereas a Raptoran mage would, I don't know what actually a bird would do as a mage.
Cast fly until he can do it himself.
Cast fly. He might be able to cast fly earlier. Who knows? That kind of thing. So they tie
He's impetuous. Closely. He's like, all the adult Raptorans are flying already. I'll show them. Now, we talked about how the 3rd edition was very flexible, and it sounds like 4th edition is being less flexible. And one of the things you have to really appreciate what Wizards of the Coast did was the open game license.
OGL.
OGL, which let all those smaller companies just basically say, we're making supplements for Dungeons & Dragons.
Which is great. I mean, it's,
yeah, it's fantastic.
That's how open sourcing, which is where this is a derivative of, open sourcing works. It works as a business model. It works from a practical standpoint, too.
Right. Well, unlike in when 2nd edition Dungeons & Dragons became Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, and you could walk into any store at any time and say, I want the Rules Cyclopedia, which was 2nd edition, versus I want the Player's Handbook, which is Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, I don't think they're going to be continuing to support 3rd edition or 3.5. Basically, we have until 4th edition is announced, and maybe a few months after, to buy the 3.5 books we want, and then move on. So, with open game license, is it going to be the same thing? Is it basically, get your 3.5 open game license now, because when it turns to 4th edition, we're closing that licensing, if they even can. I don't know the legal ramifications of that. Too bad we're not a lawyer. But anyway, so if they can close that off, will it then become 4th edition open game license? And things like Pathfinder and a lot of Paizo's upcoming products and Cobalt Quarterly as a new magazine that's coming out. It was announced after Dragon was closed. What is going to happen with that stuff?
I have a feeling there's probably going to be a 3.5 edition and a 4th edition open gaming license. There's going to be sticklers like us who want to continue playing 3.5.
Yeah,
it's going to still be a moneymaker. In fact, I think it's going to be for quite a while after 4th edition is released. Wizards won't be putting a lot of their production efforts into creating sources for 3.5. In fact, I
think they're going to put any.
You're going to get your last book in April.
Yes.
April of 2006, 2008.
Look at the books that are coming out. I mean, we've got Exemplars of Evil, which is more theory on how to make a good villain, although it's also got 8 or 7 specific, these are the Exemplars of Evil. You've got Tales of a Part-Time Sorceress, which is more of a an anecdotal book. And so it's got a lot of stuff that it's about storytelling, it's about non-mechanical part, like Dungeonscape. Dungeonscape is what the dungeon design section of a monster manual should look like.
And then you've also got the Rules Compendium, which is basically closing the door on all subsequent rules that might be created for 3.5 edition, going along with the Magic Item Compendium and the Spell Compendium. Just definitely, you know, end of story on the rules.
Yes.
And I hope they fix Grapple. Oh, God.
I doubt they will.
They probably won't.
One of the big selling points of 4th edition is we've fixed Grapple.
I'll believe it when I see it. Let's be honest.
All right. One point I wanted to bring up was... why a 4th edition? Why haven't they... why are they stopping new stuff on 3.5? If, like you said, they're going to keep the 3.5 OGL going, then couldn't they do a new Advanced Dungeons & Dragons and have a whole new rule set and continue to sell 3.5?
No, I have a feeling they're just going to maintain the OGL just as a cash cow, to be honest. You know, Paizo and all them are going to continue catering to... us, but Wizards is just going to leave it because, I mean, they've paid their copyright fees and, mm-hmm. you know, trademarking and all that. So all they do is take in, you know, the whatever licensing fees are required for each of the independent production companies for other source books. And they can leave it go as long as they have the license to 3.5 and they're, as long as they're allowed to distribute the license to 3.5.
Okay, fair enough. I guess I'm kind of expecting them to do a lot to take TSR's business model, a company that failed with the most recognizable role-playing game in the world, and bring it over to Wizards of the Coast. I guess the realist in me is saying that no, they would not sell enough 4th edition if they kept 3rd edition products on the market. Yeah. But boy, I just wish that there was some way of saying this is everything we're making 4th edition, and just say this is a different way of playing. Like the electronic stuff, the stuff that the seminar at Gen Con kind mm-hmm. of implied was largely how Dungeons & Dragons would be played, which seemed like a weird, stally version of World of Warcraft.
Well, yeah, well, that actually brings us to the online gaming and or the online gaming table, the computer-generated characters.
Right.
And basically the whole interactivity of the web for 4th edition.
All right, well, maybe we should save that topic for next week because it looks like we're about out of time.
Oh, yeah. We can go on and on with this, can't we?
We're good.
Yeah.
We're very good. All right, so I've been Ryan Costello Jr.,
and I've been Jason Dubsky, and I think I will continue to be Jason Dubsky.
As long as I let you.
Thanks, DM.
So whenever you guys need someplace to go, you are welcome to our private sanctuary.
We'll see you next week.